Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is Mega Ran, and I'm on the podcast that makes you wanna snap. Anyway, it's Mad Mania, the wrestling nerdy hip hop collection of all things geeky that we love. Today's episode is all about the Intercontinental Championship. So I went into, I believe, the guy who was Intercontinental Champion when I got back into wrestling, which was in the 90s. And that's the music I used, which was Ken Shamrock. Big fan of his work in the ring and the octagon. So had to go with his music to start this one off. Anyway, my special guest is a guy named Juan Cadavid. Juan is a producer at Fuse TV. Fan of all the things I'm a fan of. So we just got a chance to kind of just nerd out about hip-hop, about wrestling, about games, everything. So it was a great talk. Definitely a good dude to know. And I appreciate him taking some time in the corner of the BCEC in Boston during PAX East to chat with me. That's right. I did PAX East. Just came back from it. It was my fourth PAX East. And it was great, man. I had a blast out there. I was exhausted, though. Absolutely exhausted. I'm so glad to be home for a month, almost. And then starting another tour on the West Coast that I'll be explaining more about later. So anyway, we got into a whole lot of stuff, so I really want to get into this episode because we are on the heels of Payback, which is coming up. So this is going to be an episode that hits before that. So we'll talk Payback beforehand. We'll talk Intercontinental Champions. And then I'll be back early next week for a Payback wrap-up, maybe. And we're coming toward the end of what I consider to be a first season of episodes. I plan to do this thing kind of sparingly so I wouldn't have to break my back doing it while I was on the road. But it's been a lot of fun, and some of you listen, so that's even cooler. But anyway, if you are listening out there, make sure you keep sharing it and 4-5-starring it. Leave some reviews on iTunes and tell people you like it, man. There's a lot of podcasts out there, so I try to make sure we do something different for you every time. So, it's me. It's Juan Cadavid. We're talking Intercontinental Champion. We're talking about current day hip-hop, current day wrestling, and current day and classic gaming. It's going to be a fun time. All right. I'll see y'all later. It's Mega Ran. It's Matt Mania. Ring the bell. Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is Mega Ran, and I am live at PAX East for a special on-location episode of Matt Mania. I have a special guest right next to me, Mr. Juan Cadavid. What's
yo,
up?
Yo, what's going on, everybody?
Yo, so we started talking about wrestling really quick. He's a producer for Fuse TV, and as we were doing an interview, we talked about hip-hop, and then we started talking about wrestling, and he mentioned how much of an addict he was for wrestling. And I hope this doesn't get you in trouble at work, but I heard that you tend to watch the network a lot, and even while working.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thanks for having me, because I'm an avid listener, so this is super cool. Yeah, man, it's pretty well documented at work that if you're going to walk by my computer, if I'm not working, researching what I need to do for work, I will be on the network or on the Square Circle Reddit subreddit. So yeah, I have a problem.
So are you a lurker in there, or do you post content as well? Are you how are you on the Reddit?
Oh, I'm an avid. I comment a lot. I post questions when I think about stuff that I don't remember. Like, you know, like the last thing I asked, like, the whole community, I was like, was there a reason why WWE let go of EC3? Was there a specific reason? Mm. Just because, like, I saw him live at an independent show in New York. So I was like, I wonder if there was a specific reason to let him go. So I asked the community, and everybody answered, like, oh, you know, it was just because he got hurt a lot, and there was just a lot of stuff going on. So, okay. You know, I'm that kind of dude. I don't post videos or, I mean, when I do stuff for work that I think they'd enjoy because it's wrestling related, I would be like, hey, check this link out. You might like it.
Okay.
But I'm not one of these, like, you know, posting every day, getting upvotes, you know.
Yeah. So your karma's pretty good on Reddit, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's not bad.
All right. Cool. I discovered Reddit a few years ago, and it's become like my go-to spot as well for stuff, for hip-hop and wrestling stuff. There's always some good stuff in there. All right, so let's talk about your relationship with wrestling. Where did it begin? What does it progress to? And then we'll talk about the current day, but let's just talk about
how
it started. Where were you? What were you watching that got you in?
I was 9 years old. My dad had a girlfriend who owned a beauty salon, and next to her beauty salon, there was a VHS rental place. And when she would watch me, she'd go, here's some money, and go next door, rent whatever you want, you could watch it in the back. You know, I'm walking around looking to what to, looking for what to watch, and they had a wrestling wall, you know, Coliseum Video. So the first thing I ever saw was WrestleMania 5.
Nice. Okay. What was the main event in that one? That was
WrestleMania 5 was, I believe it was, Warrior Savage was 5.
I think so.
Yeah, Warrior Savage was 5.
Okay, because Savage won it at 4.
Yeah.
And kept it to 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, that was the first one.
So who are you rooting for then? Because this is
I was
a heel Savage.
I was Savage time. All day. I've always been attracted to, since I was young, I was a Macho Man guy. Just the colors, the glasses, just all his aura, everything of him, just, you know. I mean, I was super into Hogan as well, but Macho Man was like my jam.
That's my favorite wrestler of all time, so you definitely, we're already vibing. Okay, so WrestleMania 5, that was, might have been around the time I started kind of falling out of it. A lot of the dudes that I remember from tag team wrestling were kind of breaking into single stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of those guys wound up moving into what would be, I think, some of the most competitive Intercontinental title pictures.
Yeah.
So this one is mostly going to be about the Intercontinental Championship. All right. Now, today, though, before I get to all of that, where are you today on wrestling? Like, so have you been in from 5 on, like, nonstop? Have you fallen off? How's it been?
I was all in up until 2000. I would say pretty much the whole Ruthless Aggression era. I kind of checked out for a bit. I remember them introducing Brock, and then I just stopped.
Really?
Not because of him. I just stopped. You know, I met my now wife, my girlfriend then. So, like, I was more into like that. And I've always had other interests, like video games. So, it just, you know, I just cut it out of my life for no reason in particular. And then I came back in, like, 2006, I want to say, because I met a homie who is my friend now, and he was super into wrestling as well, so we kind of both came in at the same
time. Nice, nice.
But yeah, man, it's, ever since then, though, like, I watch every Monday. I watch the pay-per-views. I got the network. I was a network since the network came out. So, yeah. I'm in. I'm still in.
I think the network got me, not necessarily in, because I was already back in for about 3 years now or so, but I think it got me more invested in it, you know, where I was like, oh, I can watch all the old stuff? What? You know? Finding out that they had old NWA stuff and things like that, that's what made the network a must-buy for me. So that, but then that wound up getting me further into it. So I wound up really, really in, for better or for worse, I could say, these days. But yeah, I'm kind of all in now, you know. So I'm learning how to watch the show without necessarily getting upset at things that I thought where it's going to happen, not happening, and things like that, and not getting wrapped up in what, you know, what dirt sheets might say, or what rumors you hear, and then it not coming true, and then being upset, or predictable finishes and things like that. I'm just trying to learn how to appreciate the art of wrestling for what it is, and the athleticism and the storytelling, and just have fun with it. So what kind of fan are you? Are you a fan that watches and says, like, you know, a smart fan, so to speak?
Yeah.
Are you?
I mean, I would say I'm a smart fan, but I also, like, when you say, like, you're hoping for a result, but it never happens, like, perfect example is the whole Cena era, where you're just like, all right, today is going to be the time he loses. Nope. He won, and then you're like, why did I think he was going to lose? Like, of course he wins. But I also see it where, you know, I don't hate anyone. If I don't want Cena to win, that doesn't mean I don't like him for any specific reason. I just like, all right, it's getting stale. I want someone else. I want to see someone else on top. Okay. And doing what I do, I've gotten a chance to talk to a lot of these guys, and everyone's super awesome, you know, outside of the ring. So I am a fan, but then I also see, like, you know, perfect example is, like, the whole Roman thing right now. Like, I'm one of those, like, you know, like, they need to, like, do something. Like, they turn him heel, you know, that kind of stuff. But I also see, like, the dude's working his ass off. You know what I mean?
I feel like, you know, I've been to a couple shows recently, man, and the boos were just deafening. I went to Mania and then the Raw after, and it was just rough. And I've gotten to the point where, I don't know if I was just feeling bad, but I was just like, man, like, this guy's working. Like, let him work, man. You know, I was the only person in my section standing up the first time I heard the V-guy thing, but now it's been, like, every week since then. But the first time I heard that I'm not a bad guy, I'm not a good guy, I'm the guy, you know, I was like, yeah, you know. So I've begun to kind of feel bad. I feel like the fans are kind of sometimes hijacking the progress of the show and the
going
story.
Going into business for themselves, as they like to say.
That's what they say, you know. So I don't know. How do you feel about that? Like, do you feel like that's a thing? Like, is that a real thing? Like, can fans, you know, derail that kind of thing? Or should they have the power because they're the viewers and the people spending money?
I think they have, you know, the right to cheer whoever they want, boo whoever they want. They're paying their money to see it. But at the same token, the people you're paying to see, let them do what they do. You know, you of course, boo Roman Reigns. I boo Roman Reigns. not, you know, just because I want to voice my opinion, like, you know, I don't like what you're doing with his character. It has nothing to do with him, because I think he's an awesome talent. He works his ass off. And, you know, he's doing what he loves. But at the same time, there are shows where the crowd is just, like, saying stuff and just randomly doing things. While I get there having fun, you're kind of a little bit disrespecting the people who are putting their bodies on the line in front of you for your enjoyment, and then you're there chanting about a beach ball.
Yeah.
You know, like, you clamor for women's wrestling, and then they put them in an 8-man tag so they could get on the show, so you could get some women wrestling, and then they're chanting, you know, for people who aren't there.
Yeah.
They're chanting for CM Punk, who's, like, hasn't been there for years, and his wife isn't even there. So stuff like that, I just think it's a little on the obnoxious side. But like I said, I mean, they paid the money to be there, so I don't subscribe to that.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit, I don't know, the line is, I don't know, it's getting blurred, but I feel like it's a little weird when I go to a show now and I'm just like, whoa, these guys, they're literally trying to run the show almost. And it's crazy. So for that reason, I'm almost like, yeah, Vince, like, don't turn them heel. Like, just do your thing, you know, like, let the show play out, you know, because something cool might happen, and things have been happening in the last couple of weeks. So again, we're talking about coming up to the current time. Overall, do you have a short synopsis on what's your opinion on WWE today, like today as in the last few months or so?
I feel like WWE today, they get a lot of things right, but then they also do a lot of things that get it, what they got right, get it wrong, and then they're back at square one. I do feel that I want Roman to be healed because I feel that's best for him. Because I feel like, and I agree, because I listen to, like, all, like we said, I listen to all the podcasts. I listen to Austin's podcast, Ross's podcast, and I agree with them. Like, he needs to turn heel to get that heat and then, you know, come through. And then, just like, you know, perfect example is, like, Rollins. Like, he was a heel for so long. When he comes back, it's going to be absurd how much of a baby he's going to be.
It's going to be huge.
So I feel like they do a lot of things right, but they do shoot themselves in the foot, like, a lot. And, you know, but it's like, I still keep watching because I have faith. And the stuff that they get good, it's so good sometimes that you're just like, this is why I watch. Watching AJ Styles come to WWE to this day is surreal to see him in that ring.
Yeah, I never thought I'd see it, you know. That's been amazing. So I like to try to spin things as positively as possible. So, and you did mention AJ, but I just wanted you to, what's your favorite thing about it right now? Is it AJ? Like, is it, like, what's the thing where you're like, yeah, they're getting this right, and I love seeing this thing?
Three words, man. The New Day. I mean, that's the best thing on the show. And I gauge it because my 8-year-old daughter is a huge fan, and she watches with me, and she absolutely loves The New Day. So I use her as a barometer, and she's not she's the age group they market to, but she doesn't follow what they want her to follow. So, like, I mean, she loves, you know, Cena, but she's not a Roman Reigns fan. Can't stand him.
Wow.
And she's an 8-year-old.
Wow.
Her favorite wrestler is Sheamus.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Sheamus comes out, and I took her to an MSG a house show. She lost her shit.
She went crazy for Sheamus.
That's awesome. Yeah, and obviously the women, she's just, like, over the moon with, like, Becky and Sasha. But, that stuff is kind of what I think they're getting right. I'm very curious to see what they're going to do with AJ and Roman. But right now, I guess, besides the New Day, is what's going to happen with this Bulletproof/Bullet Club with Anderson and Gallows and Finn losing to Joe. So, like, that is what has me, like...
Wait, we're going to get to all that, because I'm very, very curious, and I definitely want to talk about that.
Definitely.
We're going to get to that. All right, real quick, we also talked about video games, so I want to briefly get into that.
Let's do it.
What's your earliest video game memory?
earliest video game memory. I came to the U.S. I'm Colombian. Mm-hmm. When I was five, my dad got me an NES, but he didn't know what game to get me, so he got me Rambo. Have you played Rambo for NES?
I have. It's a tough game. It's like one of those games where I'm like, this doesn't have an ending because it just like repeats the same thing over and over.
Yes. And I'm like five or six, and I'm playing that, and I'm like, what am I doing?
Tough game for a 5-year old.
Oh, it's tough. But he didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got the knives, the throwing knives, and the you're fighting, throwing grenades at the helicopters. It's a fun game, but yeah, it's so repetitive. Like, I didn't think it ever would end, and I'd never beat it.
But the music was dope.
I love that. I think it was one of those games where you go into a town or something, and then it's like, it felt exactly like Zelda 2.
Yeah.
I think it had the same engine or something. Like, it was Zelda 2's side-scrolling mission part. I don't know. That was interesting. I don't know if they maybe just stole it, just jacked it, or what. I don't know.
Probably.
Because it was really similar, like the life bars at the top. But anyway, Rambo. All right. So, favorite game of all time?
I always say this. It's hard, and you know because you're a video game fan. It's so hard. Metal Gear Solid, man. Mm. Like, that game changed my life. Like, I played that game, and I just didn't know games could do that to me.
Yeah.
Like, when Liquid reveals himself as being Master Miller, like, I couldn't out. It was absurd. Like, those are my fondest. I have so many, but that game just absolutely changed my entire life.
It did. People always ask me, like, hey, if there's another, you know, game that you would explore like you did Final Fantasy, you know, Mega Man, it would be Metal Gear Solid for me. Because that game just, it hit me. And I guess it was such an influential time. You know, I was just starting college, like getting into the Metal Gear games, and stories, it gets a little convoluted later on, but such a gripping sequence of events, man. Great, great game. You played the new one?
Yes. Mixed feelings about it. I was super excited for it. I mean, I love the core engine of it, of what you can do. Mm-hmm. It looks absolutely beautiful when you play it. Having said that, and I have a, you know, I have a close circle of friends that I've known since we were all like 9 years old, and we all like the same game, so we all are huge Metal Gear fans. Okay. And we were very, 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 I don't want to spoil anything for those who haven't beat it, but we were very upset.
Please
at the
don't
ending.
Spoil it.
Yeah, okay. We were upset at the ending. That's the biggest thing. Like, and you know, a lot of the stuff got repetitive.
Okay.
You know.
So was it a story thing that happens in the ending that gets you like, oh, come on, really? Or is it just like a bad week ending where you're just like, that's it?
It was more of like, really? Again? Because it has remnants of something that's happened in the past. And you're just like, oh, come on.
So they got kind of lazy with it.
I feel like they got kind of lazy, but also there was so much going on in development of that game with Kojima and Konami and how long it took and how they wanted it out already. So it definitely felt like they were just like, all right, we're going to have to cut this short. So here it is, unfortunately. Not to say I still have it.
Yeah.
I play it from time to time. I'm never going to get rid of it because it's a Metal Gear game. And to me, Metal Gear is the Holy Grail. So, you know.
Nice. So that's your favorite series?
Among them, yes. That is Metal Gear. I'm a huge, huge Zelda fan. Mm-hmm. Like, Zelda is, you know, Link to the Past.
Best Ocarina. Zelda game.
Link to the Past.
Yes.
Sorry. You know, Link to the Past is just...
You know, it's always between Ocarina and Link to the Past for people, but it's Link to the Past for me, too.
Absolutely.
It's such a great game. Did you play the DS version that they...
I mean, when I saw what it looked like and how it played, you
like
didn't even...
must buy, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even have to think twice.
Instant, yeah. Once I saw a little bit of the graphic style, I was like, I know what they're doing. Okay, I'm buying.
I mean,
so good. I think I bought a DS for that game. Oh, man. All right, so you play portable stuff, too? You're in the
I actually have my DS in my bag right now.
Nice.
So.
You're probably getting crazy street passes right now.
Yo, I keep telling my my homie who works with me at Fuse, who's my camera guy and another producer, I'm like, dude, my street pass is blowing up everywhere I go.
And you have to keep updating them or you'll lose them. So
that's the thing.
I probably got to go back and get on mine because, you'll lose them.
You know how it tells you, like, are you sure you want to go to the plaza? You have games you have left to play with these people. I'm like, I can't waste all this time playing. Yeah, exactly.
Give me those people because you'll just lose them. But, PAX is the time to max out street passes, dude. It will just keep coming.
Absolutely.
Because, like, everybody here has one.
Yeah.
So, is this your first? No, this is not your first PAX, right?
This is
not
my
your first rodeo.
Yeah, this is my second PAX East.
Okay.
And I went to PAX Prime 2 years ago in Seattle.
Nice, nice.
So, yeah.
This is my third. You do conventions a lot? With what you do?
With you, I try. I mean, we are a predominant. We were just known for music, but now we're doing, you know, more pop culture stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're going to E3. We've gone to E3 in the past, but nice. Since I've been part of the music part of it, every year the Bonnaroo Music Festival lands the same week as E3. So I've been sent to Bonnaroo and not E3. But this year is the year.
This year?
All this right. year's the year.
I think I'll be there too, so I'll see you out there.
Awesome.
Going on. Cookies. Somebody's giving out cookies. Oh, man. So one thing I love about PAX is the music. So we were just talking about that. You got a chance to catch Samus last night?
I absolutely did.
Okay. Was that your first time seeing her?
Yes.
Okay. That's a great first time to be able to catch her. I've been, you know, been following her for a while. We're good buddies. And, like, I was really proud to see her up there killing it, you know. Now, you said that she gave you an answer about best soundtracks.
Yes.
So I want to talk to you real quick about soundtracks as a sound guy and a music guy, you know, and what are your favorite soundtracks? Are they different from your favorite games?
Yeah, I mean, I would be remiss without saying Final Fantasy VII is just an incredible composition of music in that game. So I love it.
So real quick about the about Final Fantasy VII. So the remake's coming. Do you want to hear new music or do you want the same music?
I want the same music. If I hear new music, I'll be upset.
Yeah, I'll be upset. So, but obviously it probably wouldn't be that MIDI style of the
PS1. Sure.
So it'll probably be more, you know, orchestral stuff. But you want to see orchestral versions of
I want to see in stereo, orchestral, you know, grand, you know,
that's what
versions of these incredible.
Any other soundtracks like you like that?
I'm gonna hit you with one that to this day is probably my number one, and I've talked about it on my podcast at work. Donkey Kong Country 2, man.
Yes.
Donkey Kong Country 2. I bought that cassette from Nintendo Power, and I'm not lying. I would go, because you know when you're young, my parents would be like, "Yo, 10 o'clock, time to go to bed. Can't watch TV." But I was allowed to play music.
Play the music.
I played that cassette every single night. Going to bed. I have it on my phone right now.
Wow.
So that to me is the greatest soundtrack.
It's so dope. Now, I'm a give a true gamer confession that I did not like the Donkey Kong Country
really
games at all. I don't know what it is. I never really, I guess, gave them a fair shake. I even tried to get the new one on DS and I was like, this isn't really fun to me. And so I didn't get through it. But I love the soundtrack. I listen to them on YouTube, I keep them on loop, and it's so fun. And so I love the music, but I don't know. I just never got into the gameplay of any of the Donkey Kong Country games.
Yeah, I'm a mark for Donkey Kong Country. 1, 2, and 3. I have my Super Nintendo copies at home. I got Tropical Freeze for Wii U. Got the one for 3DS. Yeah,
you got them all.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just couldn't get into it, but I'm sure there's other, you know.
Sure.
There's other stuff, but the music's great.
That's so good.
Absolutely. Oh, man. Okay, so we're going to get into our main topic, but first we're going to take a break. So. This is Meg Rand. This is Matt Mania. I'm here with Juan Cadavid, and we'll be back in a second.
Hey, party people, it's Kate Murdoch here, and I want to talk to you about something real fresh, real new that myself and Meg Rand are doing now, and it involves you. The fans, myself and Mega Rant just launched a Patreon, a monthly way for you all to subscribe to us and what we do for as little as $1 a month. You'll get free exclusive downloads, a guaranteed song a month, and if you pledge at the $10 level, you'll get a free project a month, whether it be something we do together, whether it's something solo, a side project that I engineer or produce, it's guaranteed exclusive for you Patreon supporters. So, if you really like what we do, then this is the time to get down and join us. We are trying to bring back that Nintendo Fun Club vibe because this is essentially a fan club for the real fans. So check it out, patreon.com/bitsandrhymes. That's patreon.com/bitsandrhymes. And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Yo, this is Mega Rand, and I am back. We are at PAX East 2016, Boston, Massachusetts, sitting in the corner of the BCEC, literally in the corner. But this place is big, so we had to find a quiet spot. I'm with Juan Cadavid of Fuse TV.
What's up?
And we're talking wrestling. We're talking games. We're talking all kinds of stuff. Now I want to talk wrestling. I always have a topic. So this topic today is the Intercontinental title. Now, in the past, the Intercontinental title has usually been, or at least to me, the second to the main event type of thing, 100%. Where the singles guy who gets this title is usually kind of poised for a big run and in the company and usually winds up world champion eventually. Sure. You know, it's been a stepping stone. Not just that, but there's been some epic feuds for the Intercontinental title throughout history, and most of those people have gone on to be former world champs. I mean, I think about, you know, when I think Intercontinental title feuds, you know, there's so many, though, between there was Savage and Steamboat. There was Bret Hart and Austin. Mm-hmm. You know, there was Rock and Austin. There was Owen Hart, Austin. Like, so many really, really good Intercontinental championship feuds. So, my favorite, when I think Intercontinental title, I always think Macho Man, because I think that's when I began following Macho is when, you know, he was going for that Intercontinental title and they was having great feuds. I think Jake the Snake and him had a really great feud around that title as well. So Intercontinental title, who do you think of when you think of that title first? And where do you see it now?
First person I think of, for some reason, is Mr. Perfect.
Ah, okay.
Even though, like, I mean, I love Mr. Perfect, but he's not one of my, you know, all-time favorites. Obviously, I remember Macho Man, because the one thing I remember about Macho Man is the way he carried it to the ring, folded.
Yeah.
Was the first time I had ever seen anyone carry the belt that way. So that's kind of synonymous with it. Mm. But Mr. Perfect is the one I remember, because that's when I first started, I guess, really watching it.
Mr. Perfect. Another guy, just great worker, you know, always was a great worker. I think could have done some great things.
And those vignettes, man. Those vignettes.
Oh, my God. I was just about to talk about the vignettes. Remember when he throws the football to himself?
Yeah.
And they have the real tight end. It's funny because I was just as much of a sports mark then, too.
Same here.
So they had a real tight end for the Vikings there watching him. And he threw the ball, and he catches it. And the tight end looks up like, it was perfect, you know. Every throw to me was perfect, you know. Such great vignettes, and he was an amazing in the ring. The perfect plex is just an amazing move. It was just perfect.
Yeah. And his, like, when he came out with the towel, with the gum, and, you know, hitting it and, like, throwing the towel behind his back. And,
yes,
like that small stuff. It's so good. Was so good.
Is there, and now that we're talking about Mr. Perfect and just those little nuances, like, is there a guy today that you can think of just off the top, like, that gives you those little nuances where you're like, man, you know, that's a thing he's going to do, and that's a thing that's cool, and I see it every time, and I know it's there, but it's a cool thing, and I love it when he does it.
The two people that come to mind with that are Ambrose and Owens.
Okay.
Because they do little subtleties that you notice that you're like those little things are not things that they're projecting, but you notice, and especially us as fans for so long, there's things Owens does that you're just like, you laugh, but you get why he's a heel, because he does those things.
Oh, absolutely.
And Ambrose is the same way. Like, he does these things that you're just like, that, you know, like, they make sense for the character, but they're genius because they're so subtle.
Yeah. One thing that's not subtle that Ambrose does is that bounce off the rope thing where he goes through the ropes.
You know where he got that from, right?
Where did he get that from?
He got that from a British wrestler from a Ring of Honor from, like, the late 2000s, Nigel McGuinness.
Okay.
He was incredible.
All right.
And him and Daniel Bryan in Ring of Honor, they used to have amazing matches. Like, they were, like, you know, like, those matches are, like, you know, history. Like, people.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
I unfortunately missed a lot of Daniel Bryan's best work, and so I do love to go back on it. And I feel bad, like, almost, where I had just come in when he won the title of Mania. You know, and I was just like, man, now that's it? Like, that's it? Come on, you know. So I went back and found a lot of his, like, work, and he was amazing.
He's awesome. I talked to him. He's an awesome dude outside the ring.
Yeah?
Super humble, yeah. But he, in that ring, he was incredible. And, I mean, I feel bad because, you know, who wants to see a career cut short, especially a career of that caliber?
Yeah.
But I got to watch him in Ring of Honor a lot, you know, those years coming up. Him with Punk and Samoa Joe. Like, I got to watch him do all that really cool stuff. So at least I'm just like, you know what? At least I got to see a good bulk of it. I feel bad for people like you, fans like you, who only got to see the WWE side of it.
Yeah. I go back though whenever I can. I watch a lot of old stuff. On that ROH stuff is just classic.
Yeah, it's so good.
So good. All right. So are you still in the ROH? Do you get a chance to
watch it? I follow it loosely, I'd say. Like, I've been trying to go to a show, but they've blown up so much that, you know, those tickets go, they go as soon as they go on sale. They're like gone.
Yeah, they
go. But I keep, you know, on subreddit, like on Squared Circle, like, you can't escape it. People post, you know, their best matches, and like right now, Dalton Castle is like, whatever I watch from Ring of Honor, he's like, to me, like the best thing they got going on.
Nice, nice. All right, so Intercontinental title talk. Mm-hmm. So right now, the Intercontinental champion is The Miz, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, we have a number one contender situation where Cesaro is the guy who's going for it right now. Cesaro is a guy who's been in the company a while.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like he's kind of ready to get his run. And so what are your thoughts on Cesaro?
I love Cesaro. I think he's one of probably top five best wrestlers in the world. He's just, what he does in the ring is just, it's for a man his size, it's just, it's absurd. Yeah. Like, you're not supposed to be doing that.
Right.
I'm so happy that he has this character now, this like 007 slash Leon the Professional character that they're going for. I'm glad now he has that character to, like, you know, dive into, sink his teeth into.
Yeah.
I think he's, you know, he's getting a little more mic time as it seems, and Miz is the perfect person to go off of, because Miz, people give him a lot of shit, but Miz is fucking good.
He's great, man. He's great. And in this world today, where it's funny, I watch, I listen to a lot of the podcasts as well, and Jim Ross always says, like, it's so hard to be a bad guy today.
Yeah.
Because everything, you know, and hard to be a good guy as well, but everybody's bad. You know what I mean? So it's hard to get a legit amount of heat. And Miz is the best at it probably right now, of just getting heat. Like, you just want to hate him. You want to see him get his butt kicked every week. So it's great. And so, yeah, I think it's the perfect guy to bounce it off of. One guy who kind of fell out of the scene really quickly was Zack Ryder.
Poor Zack.
Who had a you know, had his mania moment. And, took the L, and then took the L in the rematch. So what do you think about Zack Ryder? Do you think he's got another run in him?
I mean, I hope so, but it doesn't look like it, man. Because I feel like, you know, that Monday after Raw, I mean, I thought, there's no way they're going to take it. I mean, they just gave it to him.
They just gave it to him. His dad was there.
Yeah, like, I'm like, there's no way. He's probably going to have a nice little run. And then I thought the whole thing was going to lead to a Miz Ryder feud for, like, a pay-per-view or two, and then maybe Miz taking it later thereafter. Mm-hmm. I did not think it was going to happen so quick.
No, they just fast forward.
Yeah.
Like, let's go.
I feel bad because I know how hard, like, if you've been following, like, he so, like, wants that opportunity to be at any spot on
any
the show,
spot,
basically.
Really. He just wants to be on the show. I watched a lot of that Breaking Ground show on the network, and I was, like, really getting behind him. You know, they put him in NXT, and he was rolling with the guy in Mojo Rawley for a while, and he's just like, man, I'm just waiting for my call. I'm just waiting for my call, you know. And then to see him get that call, and then it's like, all right, gone, boom, you know. I felt really bad.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's just happy getting that moment, you know, that WrestleMania moment. And we talk about that, like, that's all CM Punk wanted, apparently, was the WrestleMania moment. So, you know, so don't underestimate it.
Yeah,
you know, like,
totally.
It's a big thing.
And they can't take it away from him. Like,
you can never take that away. You are a part of maybe a package of some sort, holding that title on top of that ladder. So, yeah, it was fun while it lasted. Maybe we'll see him again. But I do think it's Cesaro's time, so I'm glad that's happening. Cesaro was putting on 5-star matches. I went to a SmackDown. Him and Cena had one of the best matches I'd ever seen.
I remember that match.
When Cena was doing the U.S. Challenge. So let's talk really quickly, although it's not Intercontinental title. Let's talk about the U.S. title. Like, what's, in your opinion, what's happening? What should be happening? Because right now, Kalisto is the U.S. title, and he has the championship. And I don't think he's been on TV.
No.
The last couple of weeks, honestly. So, I don't know. What's happening, and what do you think maybe should be going on with that title?
I mean, unfortunately, I think it's just an afterthought right now, which is a shame because Cena did an incredible job bringing that title up. As much as people, like, you know, if you're not a Cena fan, you're not a Cena fan. But you can't deny what he did with that title. He elevated it, unfortunately, until he got hurt. But I feel bad because I think Kalisto's an awesome wrestler. You know, they're giving him the mic time to develop his character, and, you know, he's doing well with it. I just think there's so much stuff going on the grander scale with Reigns and, you know, with the new people out coming in, like Gallows and Anderson, and I just feel he's gotten lost in the shuffle. along with the belt, unfortunately, because they don't even defend it. You know, like, they haven't defended. I mean, it was on the pre-show. It was the first match on the pre-show.
It was on the pre-show.
And half the stadium wasn't in there yet.
50 building. But that was partly their fault. That wasn't. I mean, they had a ticket problem at the door or something. It was crazy. I watched that part on TV in line trying to get in the building.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
But, yeah, they had the POS system went down. So it wasn't their fault. But, yeah, like, giving it a pre-show, you know, thing, I think, I guess it's hard with so much talent. I mean, they're in a, you know, they're in a bad but good problem where they got too much good talent right now. So with that being said, Raw is 3 hours with them having a lot of talent. How do you feel about the 3-hour show?
I think the 3-hour show is it's exhausting. Because they bring you up at the beginning a lot of times, and then you come down. Then they bring you up again at the turn of the hour, and then you come down again. And then by the end of the night, it's just like, all right, let's get to the end. What's going to be the end game for this whole episode? And I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if you notice this, but I feel the crowd suffers from it too, that in the third hour, the crowd has just nothing left.
Yeah, because it's literally at that point, the crowd's probably been there almost 4 hours.
Yeah.
They're doing pre-show main event stuff for maybe a half an hour. Sure. They're doing a bunch of matches. It can be exhausting, you know, and I think that, especially when you bring them way up in the beginning and you tell them something that's going to happen 3 hours from now.
Yeah.
And now they just have to wait for it. So, I don't know. How do you fix that? Do you cut the show shorter, split them into literally two shows, think about a brand split? Like, what do you do?
It's tough. I mean, I've worked in TV my whole career, and I get why they do the 3-hour shows, because the sponsorships, like, that all brings in money.
Yeah.
And when your network is telling you, like, this is what we want, you kind of have to do it. As far as splitting the show, I mean, I would love that they just, like, did something like they just renamed the first hour. Because you remember on Attitude Era, it was, like, the War Zone and then was, maybe they do something like that where the beginning is, you know, a different kind of feel than the first, different types of matches than the first.
Different announcers,
maybe not its own show, but something that shows that it's a separate part of, you know, the rest of the program. So, like, you're not maybe too in and down with so much stuff. And they're not bringing you up and down and up and down. So, yeah. I mean, that's just a suggestion from me. Someone who probably works in TV is probably like, that's a horrible suggestion. Like, we can't do that and will not do that. But, I mean, it's definitely, I can see why it's a tough situation. So, like, that's just me, you know, spitballing. What do you think?
I don't know, man. I would love to see, I think it's a really good idea. Just maybe having a first hour main event, you know, or that out in that 90-minute mark main event, like where the championship is going to be defended. And then the second hour, you get, you know, an Intercontinental title match or something at the very end. I don't know. Something big to work people up to and then work them up to something else. But I do think I like the idea of maybe giving it a different feel. Maybe a brand split, you know, where it's like you're going to see these people the first hour. You're going to see these people the next hour. You're going to see these people the next hour. I don't know, man. But it is exhausting.
It is.
So I thank God for Hulu. And so I just watched my 90-minute version. And because I usually miss it, I don't have cable. So, but you know, and I'm like, man, I might miss something, but I don't know if you really miss anything. You know, sometimes, I mean, maybe it's a good promo somebody cuts, but you're not missing a whole lot.
Sure.
SmackDown, I don't get the chance to catch as much, but when I do watch it, I think that the pacing is good. I think that's something that I would love to see in Raw.
Yeah, and Mauro is.
Oh, Mauro's
so
amazing.
He's so good.
I love the fact that they're. At least have him showing up on Raw, like he was backstage doing some stuff. So I would love to see him eventually, you know, maybe get the call up and do some bigger stuff. Because he's killing it, man.
Yeah, he's so good. I love Heel King is back.
Yes.
For such a long time, when we had
you had Face King. Yeah. It was like Tweener King. It was just like.
And you could tell he was trying so hard to, like, but now it's back to the old King.
Yeah,
I love
we get
it.
Old King back. I like that. I like that a lot. That's where it needs to be. He's got to have that heel announcer. And the guy who's down the middle, you know. So, back to Intercontinental Championship. Now, I thought, and it's funny when you mentioned that Savage thing with him having the holding that belt with that kind of folded look. I can just picture that moment, you know. So, Intercontinental title matches have, for a long time, been show stealers at events and things. So, we got Payback coming up. Any chance of Miz Cesaro becoming a show stealer, you think?
I think there's definitely a chance, barring what happens in the main event at the end.
Yeah.
But when you have Cesaro and anybody, I mean, and like I said, I really, like, I've The Miz, to me, doesn't get enough credit for what he does. Mm-hmm. He's incredible on the microphone and the character he plays. But he's got a lot better in the ring. Those AJ matches with Miz were solid.
Really good. Yeah.
They were solid. Yeah, so I would not be surprised if they stole the show and told a really, really good story in the ring.
Do you see Cesaro going over?
Now, I don't think yet. I think they need to build, because I've only seen one promo for them two in the same room with Maryse. And
yeah.
So I think maybe Maryse, you know, little shenanigans.
Little shenanigans.
You know, sets up the next one. And maybe we get Cesaro at SummerSlam winning it, or maybe before SummerSlam. Who knows? It's a long summer.
Yeah, I mean, he literally just came back. Yeah. You know, so maybe they have time to work that in.
Sure.
I'd like to see it happen. I think Cesaro is worthy, and he's getting there. He's getting ready. All right, so now we can talk about main event stories. We got Roman Reigns and AJ at Payback happening. This is a match that already was interesting to me, but has now become even more interesting with the addition of Anderson and Gallows attacking Roman. So how do you see this playing out?
This is my favorite part, because I don't know. Like, you could only speculate, right?
That's why I'm excited. I just want to be surprised.
And they've added more feud to it with this whole Balor thing, losing to Joe at a house show. Balor, and then Balor is the greatest tease in wrestling.
He's so good at
that. Did you see the video of him, like, outside the venue going, like, see you on Monday?
See
and it's
you
like,
on
come
Monday.
On.
Like, why would you do that? Oh, yeah, he's such a tease. He's like holding up people's signs.
Yeah.
Like, hey, bring back the Balor Club.
Yeah, and his Twitter and like all that stuff. Like he's so good with that.
Such
so
a tease.
Yeah, I don't.
Do you think that's just him, just you know, just being that way, like just to start some rumors going? Is he maybe being fueled to give him something, or is he maybe just going off the rails a little bit? Like, how do you feel? Like, is that just him just giving you something? Like, all right, well, maybe you know, just like keep tuning in. You know.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of that. Also, keep that buzz going. Keep the, you know, internet talking. And honestly, that makes you want to watch this Payback pay-per-view.
It really does.
Because he keeps, like, setting it up, teasing. And then when you add that to what happened on Raw, and it just, you know, you can't help but think something's going down. And with AJ and
Something's got to give.
Because he, you know, Roman's not full-blown heel yet. They're, like, you know, they're planting the seed. AJ is one of the most over guys in the company.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something's got to give.
Now, there's so many ways this can go.
Oh.
So many potential, like, scenarios. And they all make me kind of excited, you know. If Roman goes full heel, if AJ just goes full heel and they just, you know, screw him out of his time. Anything interesting could happen. Like, there's so much cool stuff. The wildest scenario I've heard is that Roman winds up leading a new Bullet Club, and they all just turn on AJ. Then maybe Finn comes and helps AJ, and now you got a little bit of a stable rivalry. I don't know. But there's so many things that can happen. But you know what? I know what happens when I get my hopes up, because I did it at WrestleMania.
Exactly.
Superman punch. 1-2-3. Roman Reigns wins. I'm prepared to not be surprised, honestly. Because, you know, but you get your hopes up. So, real quick, WrestleMania thoughts. What did you think of Mania?
It was too long, man. And I wasn't there. You were there.
I was there.
And it was too long for me on my couch.
It dragged on, man.
Because when you're watching a show and all you can think about is, I've been sitting here for 5 hours watching the show. It, you know, that means the show's not keeping you locked, your attention. So,
absolutely.
Number one, that was my first thought. That main event. Well, I love how the crowd was voicing, you know, their opinion for Roman, and that the fact that they still are just too stubborn to not switch things up, even though they did last year, and the year before that, basically. And this year they were just like, no.
Enough of this.
Yeah. That women's match, to me, was the highlight. I love all those three women. They're incredible, and that was my highlight.
Yeah, I think so for me, too. Now, really quick, I feel like a lot of, and I got to ask this on the podcast, so I just want to know your opinion. I think opinions, or rather, I guess storyline consistency has become a thing. Because, as you know, at WrestleMania, Shane McMahon is fighting for the control of the company. He loses in a valiant effort. And then the next day, he won, apparently, because now he's running the company. AJ lost his match. Great match with Jericho. Winds up number one contender.
Yeah.
You know, so some things are happening. Or what's going on? Is that a little bit of fan service from the WWE, or they're like, nah, forget what you saw at Mania, new season, new day, like, sure, kind of thing. Like, let's just start this over. Like, what do you think? Why is Shane running Raw?
I will be honest with you, I have no idea. When that happened, I usually text one of my best friends who's a huge fan, and I go, so then what the hell were the last 2 months about?
Yeah.
Like, it's while it was a great Raw and it's awesome, to a refreshing thing to not see Triple H and Stephanie there, it's also begs the question, like, so then what was the point of having, was it just for filler? Was that like a filler for the pay-per-view? If so, like, why did you put him against The Undertaker then? It's mind-boggling. I can't figure it out.
I have no clue. So how do you feel about Shane being the heel, heel commissioner, so to speak, or the face guy who is running the show in favor of the crowd, I suppose. Sure. So how do you feel about that? I mean, I feel like that's always been a role reserved for a bad guy. But how do you think Shane's doing in that role?
It's refreshing. It's good to see him on a weekly basis because I love Shane. Shane's awesome.
Shane's great.
I think it's great. And I kind of feel like it's an insinuation of a little of damage control of people being really upset at Mania and then being like, all right, let's just give them the guy they want and give them most of the matches they want. So they kind of forget that we kind of hosed them at Mania. I feel like that's kind of, the thing going off. And
I feel that way, too. I'm like, you guys like AJ, right? All right, let's put him in the main event, You guys like Shane, right? He's on TV every week now, Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that was a filler match, with Cena being hurt and all those other injuries. They were just like, Taker needs an opponent.
Sure.
And he can't lose. So, here we go. So who's going to take the loss? And that was Shane.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I was just like, I guess wrestling fans are supposed to have short memories, so I shouldn't complain too much.
But we don't.
But we don't, though.
That's the thing. We don't.
We want some consistency a little bit. I don't know. But I feel like after Mania was like the beginning of a new season.
Sure.
I felt like this is the equivalent of like a season premiere. And it was like all these new guys, like NXT, like Move Up Day, all these cats are out. So who are you excited about that's come up?
I like Apollo Crews a lot. Formerly Yuha Nation on the Independence. I think he's, his athleticism is scary.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's he has a great look. I would like to see him, who am I to say, but like, I would like to see him just get better at talking on the mic, even though they haven't given opportunities much to do it. But like, he needs a character. Like, we get how freaky athletic he is, but we need, and they started to pull out the vignettes of like, his dream was to wrestle and, he's always just want to be a champion and his father's from Africa. That stuff is great because, you invest in that character.
Yeah.
As long as they keep him, getting that character off the ground, I think he's going to do great. So I'm looking forward. And just watching him have matches with, the rest of the roster, it's fresh.
Mm-hmm.
If they put him in with a good heel, I think, it'll be great. Enzo and Cass, man. Like, I'm from Queens. I'm from New York. So Cass is like, I'm a big fan of his because he's from Queens. Mm-hmm. And Enzo is just, dude, Enzo, he debuted and already he just like top five on the mic on that roster.
Top five, yeah.
I mean.
Like, that was like, I hadn't seen anything like that since like Vintage Rock. Like,
yeah,
seriously, like, that guy on the mic was gold. Like, that promo against the Dudleys was some of the best stuff I'd ever seen. Top five.
Yeah, and, like, the delivery, the, the gusto, the swag, like, he's that dude. You know what I mean?
It,
like, you could tell they're not writing it for him.
No, it's just, I'm sure.
Which is crazy because he's a new, the new, quote-unquote, new guy on the roster.
Yeah.
But I'm super excited to see what, happens with them and the tag team division right now is...
It's hot. They got a lot of good tag teams now, which is good. I think for a while it was a little stale.
So
New Day, I don't even know if they have a match at Payback. Like, what's going on with that?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with New Day. I think they're on a flight, like a holding pattern right now because, I mean, they're waiting for their number one contender. Maybe they'll commentate at Payback while the match is going on.
Huh.
But I can't imagine, I mean, the way I see it happening is, Dudley's come out, Schmaz, cost Enzo and Cass the match, and then we get Vaudevillains and New Day because Vaudevillains are the heels, New Day are to say babyface is like an understatement.
Yeah,
and you can't give us Enzo and Cass versus New Day a month into them debuting. Like, that's like, that is huge.
That's big. That's SummerSlam, so, maybe.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a big one. Huh. All right, that's interesting. I find it weird. I don't know. I put a lot of emphasis on these belts and, you know, or championships rather. They don't call them belts. But I put a lot of emphasis on them, so I'm always worried about how the titles are being treated and how they're being viewed on pay-per-views. And so I'm always conscious of that. So I'm like, why is there no U.S. title match? Why is there no tag team title match? Why is the Intercontinental title match first? Like, why? I'm always thinking that. So I don't know. Do you think that now just titles don't matter as much, or is it just, I don't know, like, is it something that's just not a thing where I shouldn't be thinking that?
I just feel that they don't really care about them. So we kind of, not that we don't care, but it's like, well, they don't care about them. It's unfortunate. I think we should be caring about them because, you know, then why have a championship?
Yeah. Well, they're like, hello, it's fake. Like, it doesn't matter who's wearing the belt. It's fake. I don't know. Like, is that a, I don't know. Like, it seems like it's not a thing.
Tell one of them when they win a championship if it's fake, because you could tell, like, you know, the emotion they get when they win. Yeah. So that's tell them it's fake, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So that's why I wanted to focus on the title matches, particularly the Intercontinental title. I'm hoping to see it return to prominence. I don't know. Maybe I think Cesaro could be that guy once he gets it.
Sure.
At some point, I think he will. All right. I'm going to wrap up, but I'm going to wrap up with a couple rapid-fire questions.
Oh, yes. Let's go.
Are you ready?
Yeah. I'm ready.
Okay. Best tag team ever?
Dudley Boys. To me.
Okay. All right. Of course to you.
Yeah.
Best two-player video game ever?
Turtles in Time.
Woo-hoo! Yes. Best online game ever?
Oh, crap. Oh, man, you stumped me with that one. Oh. Best online?
What's the most fun online?
I'm gonna go with Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Okay.
Because me and my friends absolutely annihilated people in that game.
Okay, all right. Good pick. I dig the Modern Warfare games. What is the best? Dang, I just lost my question. Shoot. Best video game console of all time?
Super Nintendo. I don't even have to think.
Hands down, best library ever.
Oh,
man, best controller ever.
DualShock. I love that controller. It just feels right to me. With a close second being the 360 Xbox. That one felt really good too.
It did. It felt good. First one was too blocky.
Yeah. Oh my god. That beast.
Oh god. It would. This is an atrocity. Best portable system ever.
I'm going to go with Game Boy Advance, man. Game Boy Advance was, I mean, I have so many memories in that because I started working when that kind of came out. So, like, I would take that everywhere with me for my lunch breaks and all that good stuff.
I feel you.
So, that to me is my favorite one.
That's when I played my first Pokemon game. It was Pokemon Gold on Advance. All right. And best hip hop album of all time.
Oh, my God. I can see why I left that one for last.
That's for last.
Oh, Lord.
You can even split it up. You can go, like, East Coast, man. West Coast, Southern, and Midwest, if you need to.
Okay. Holy crap. West Coast, I have to go with The Chronic, just because that, to me, it's ridiculous how many times I listen to that record.
All right.
East Coast, that's where I'm from. I'm from New York. Yep. Oh, my God. I'm such a big Nas fan that it's ridiculous.
All right.
So I might have to go with the cliche Illmatic, but is it cliche? Because it's one of the best pieces of hip-hop.
Brilliant piece of art. Like, so it's not necessarily cliche.
Midwest. Does Detroit count as Midwest? Because Midwest, I got to go with Marshall Mathers LP.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And South, I might have to go with Scarface, The Fix. That I fucking love that album.
I was just listening to that on my drive up here. That's crazy. Guess who's back? My Block. What? I thought you were going to say The Diary, which is another classic.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Tell the people how they can get in touch with you if they need to argue with you about your choices.
Sure. So you could follow me on Twitter at Juan Con Queso. JuanConQuezo. Like Mega Ram mentioned, I am a producer at Fuse TV. You can check out my stuff at fuse.tv. And we also have a podcast called Back of the Class, where basically, you know, conversations like this one, where we talk about, you know, mostly hip-hop stuff, and comic. I'm like the nerd of the panel. It's me, my coworker Esteban, and the writer for our website, Zach Dion. And we usually start talking about hip-hop because that's what we do. We're journalists for the most part, and we all love hip-hop. But I'm the nerd of the crew, so I always, you know, talk about, you know, comics or, you know, what superhero movies are coming up that I'm excited for, video games that I'm excited for, wrestling.
Wait, you into comics too?
Oh, I'm super into comics.
Oh, man. Best graphic novel ever.
Dark Knight Returns.
Woo! Thank you.
I almost said Watchmen, but Dark Knight Returns is...
Yeah, they're close for
and
me.
And Batman to me is my end all, okay, be all, so... Yeah,
I don't want to get into that movie. So,
oh, no.
So that would be another podcast. We're not going to talk about Batman Superman movie.
Only if your name is Martha. Is your mom's name Martha?
No.
Okay, so then we can't.
We can't talk about it. We can't bond on that. All right, so.
Can I just say this was, like, super awesome experience.
And dude, thank you for doing this, man.
It's a pleasure for me. I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank
I'm
you.
Glad I got to link up with you and interview you.
I'm
you
glad,
know,
too,
keep
man.
An eye out for the interview on Fuse.tv.
Yeah.
Should be out very soon. And, you're awesome, man.
Thank you so much, Juan. I appreciate you. We're shaking hands. You can't see it.
Yeah.
All right. Last thing, I have my guests leave with a rap song or any song that mentions wrestling or a wrestler. And there's a million of them. So
I already got mine.
I've used a few. You can't do the Macho Man rap album.
Okay.
I think I've done that twice. But there's a few. But what would be your pick?
Killer Mike, Ric Flair.
Ah.
That song, if you're a wrestling fan, if you've never heard it, go listen to it. If you're a rap fan and don't like wrestling, go listen to it. That song is incredible.
Well, you're about to listen to it because I'm about to play it.
Yeah.
Yo, it's Meg Rand. Special guest, Wonka David. Thank you so much. It's Matt Mania. As always, keep your shoulders off the mat, and I will see you somewhere.
Peace.
Check my tour dates and all that good stuff. MegaRand.com. Make sure you're on iTunes and favoriting, subbing, and telling 7 friends, or you'll get some kind of weird rash. All right, y'all. Matt Mania, we out.
I'm going on tour, and I'm going to show anybody out there that thinks for 1 second that maybe I'm second-guessing myself that I am the greatest of all time forever and ever. One surprise. One surprise. Woo. I'm back.
To make it out the ice cold streets of the city, you better have a Christopher word game with it. You better have a dance game similar to Diddy, or play b-ball above a rim like Smitty, Josh, Chris, Bosh, Paul, Gasol, or any other nigga that ball and tall. I used to sell it white as Paul Wall. Gave my young boy 3 of them in the mall, and he gon' bring me 75K back tomorrow. You know what Big about. You know what Bigger do. Ice water in my veins, hard pumping igloo. I'm familiar with the money, so who the fuck is you? What the fuck you do? Where the fuck you from? Who you knowing? Somebody get this nigga, I don't know him. And I'm about to jet off on his ass like a Boeing. Going, 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 gone. So,
you don't like the prestige that I have in life? You don't like the notoriety? You detest the fact that I got more cars than most of you have friends. I got a big house on the big side of town. I got life pretty much the way I want it.
To make it out the ice cold streets of the city, your mind state gotta be as wicked as fitted. Can't love life, suck a little mama's titty, cause life is a bitch and a bitch ain't with it. You gotta have faith, living life on biggie. I'm ready to die for the money, who is with me? Life after death, hey, this must be hell. I asked for 6 figures, God gave back self. I'm on my way to heaven in a Porsche 911. Buried in my car and I'm surrounded by a harem. Surrounded by my brethren, my funeral is legend. Buried like a pharaoh with my jewelry in the desert. The government, they hate me like Jesus, but fuck them. I did it for the grind, I did it for the hustle. I did it for the people on the bottom in the struggle. I did it for my comrades, did it cause I love them.
Custom made, brother. Woo. And I mean custom made. From the alligators to the only casino right here, Ric Flair. There's only one. And I don't care if it's Tokyo, Japan, Greensboro, Richmond, Charlotte, North Carolina, Asheville, Atlanta, Georgia, Charlotte, LA. I'm the man that that's making it possible to make it out the ice cold streets of the city. You gotta politic your situations like Clinton. If you chase power, you ain't gotta chase women. So take some advice, take cash over ass. When you get money, you ain't gotta take shit. So long as you broke, she ain't gotta take dick. Capiche? Now you know what motivates your beast. Capiche? Pay the mortgage or the pussy up for lease. Capiche? Church ladies going gaga for the Gucci. Yeah. Got two Nicki's Minaj's for some Louis. Yeah. Up with the keys, get acquainted with Alicia. And every other girl named Rihanna wanna meet ya. They in it for the money, got the swag of the features. Pretty parasites might suck you like leeches. Just some information for a student from a teacher. Real life shit, I'm Mike Bigger, nice to meet ya. Gone.
At Delta, the girls call me Cool. At Eastern, the girls call me Slick Rick. And all the other women around the world just say, oh, there goes the man. Woo!